Thank you. If you have your Bible, will you open with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew? And we are going to begin in the beginning. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. And the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Okay, you ready? Here it goes. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. Judah begat Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begat Hezron, Hezron begat Ram, Ram begat Amminadab, Amminadab begat Nashon, Nashon begat Salmon, Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab, Boaz begat Obed by Ruth, Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. David the king begat Solomon by her, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abijah. Abijah begat Asa. Asa begat Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begat Joram. Joram begat Uzziah. Uzziah begat Jotham. Jotham begat Ahaz. Ahaz begat Hezekiah. Hezekiah begat Manasseh. Manasseh begat Ammon. Ammon begat Josiah. Josiah begat Jeconiah and his brothers about the time that they were carried away into Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Shealtiel, Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel begat Abiud, Abiud begat Eliakim, Eliakim begat Azor, Azor begat Zadok, Zadok begat Achim, Achim begat Eliad, Eliad begat Eleazar, Eleazar begat Mathan, Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. So all the generations of Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take this list, these names, and penetrate our heart, Father, for you gave this for a purpose. And I pray, God, that you would help us to understand the wonder that you have given us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. If you set out to write a book today and you wanted to write a book that a lot of people were going to read, and you wanted them to have interest and you wanted them to come to it again and again and again and again, you wouldn't write it and start out the way that Matthew did. It's hard for us to understand. Here we have this long list of hard to pronounce names. We got 39 begots. And in our day, what is relatively boring in Jesus' day would have been a wow moment. In fact, Jews would have been very interested in the first century in the way this gospel starts. It was written primarily to Jews, to draw Jews to the Christ. And the Jews were looking for the Messiah. And so all the Jews knew that the Messiah was going to come, and then Jews knew the requirements for the Messiah to come, and they knew that the Messiah would have to be a direct descendant of King David. And by King David, then to Abraham. God would give a great gift, and that gift would be wrapped up in a certain lineage that God had foretold. And so Matthew begins setting the stage for the one who had the right DNA, if you will, to be the Christ, the one that would meet all the requirements necessary to be the Christ. If Jesus did not meet those requirements, then he could not be the Messiah. And so we see a record of families in 1:1, the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ. That phrase is unusual in the Bible. In fact, if you want to find it again, you've got to go back into the Old Testament, back through the Old Testament prophets, back through the wisdom books, Psalms, Kings, all the way back to the book of the beginnings called Genesis. You get to Genesis 5:1 and you read this. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. What Matthew is doing as he starts the Gospels is tying us to the same wording that Genesis starts with. and he is tying Jesus to Adam. Matthew is the bridge connecting the Old and New Testaments. Matthew is letting us know that the Old Testament was about Jesus. The New Testament is about Jesus. It's all a hymn book. It's all about him. The Bible is a book of two families. In Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus. In Genesis 5:1, the book of the genealogy of Adam. Spiritually, there are only two families on the planet. You were either in the family of Adam or you were in the family of Jesus. Now, if you're in the family of Adam, then Genesis 5 is your chapter. It's not a good chapter. It's not a cheery chapter. It's a chapter that has, let's say, some downward trend. If you read through Genesis 5, in Genesis 5:5, we find Adam and he died. In 5:8, Seth and he died. In 5:11, Enoch and he died. In 14, Canaan and he died. In 17, Mahalalel and he died. What you have is a listing here of he died and he died and he died and he died and he died. What this says is God's word is true. Remember, God set up before Adam and Eve and said, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but in the day that you eat of that tree, in the day you disobey me, you will die. You will bring death upon yourself. What did the devil say? The devil said, no, you're not going to die. Well, have you seen Adam and Eve lately? It seems that God was right, the devil was wrong. God is always right. His word is always true. The family of Adam is the family of death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you are in Adam, you have death as your future. Now, in the New Testament, in Matthew, the emphasis changes. We are given the line of Jesus, and yes, all the people in this line died physically, but their deaths are not emphasized. As you read through the first chapter of Matthew, you don't see any died, any died, any died, any died, any died. No, you see a whole list of begots. You see, in Genesis, everything is pointing toward the grave and death. In Matthew, now, everything is pointing toward new life. New life that is only real in Jesus Christ. We all started off in Adam's family. Paul reveals this in 1 Corinthians 15:22. He says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If you are in Adam's family, you have a problem. Our physical progression ties us to Adam. The fact that we have a human mother and father ties us to Adam. We are all part of Adam's family, different from the Adam's family. All who are in Adam are headed to the grave. Now, I know we don't like to talk about it, but it's a reality. We're all going to die. You're going to die, I'm going to die. Everybody that is born is going to die. It is appointed to man once to die, and that is also true of woman. We know we will die. We don't know when. We don't know how. We know this virus has tried, but we've gotten this far. You die when your life purpose here is done. Now, you may die before the service is over. There's not a lot of us to carry you out, so I'd prefer you wait. Give your heart to Jesus. Focus on the good news of Christmas and what God has given to us. Think about Jesus and think about the life that we have and the blessings that we can have in him. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to focus on salvation. Christmas is a good news message to us about salvation and its possibility to people that were headed toward death. If you come to Jesus, the focus changes. The rest of 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, while in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. The future of the believer is not focused on death. Our future is focused on life. We're not going to the grave. We're going through the grave. We are on our way to something that is better. Real life here and now, the Bible calls it abundant, full, and more than anyone can have in any other way. And then it only gets better. As Paul said, for me to die is gain. You know, here it's good, but with Jesus, it gets better. And it just keeps on getting better and better. As a child of God, you're going to die physically, but it's just a passageway. There is something better on the other shore. Now, the lost person faces death, and their death just leads to more death and doom. Their death just leads to more destruction. You enter the Jesus family by new birth. The same way you entered the Adam family, by the way, by new birth. The moment you place your faith in Jesus, believing that he is God come to earth, that he lived a life of perfection, that he died on Calvary's cross for you, that he suffered, bled, and died there for your sin to be forgiven. When you receive Jesus who died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and you invite him to come into your heart and to forgive your sin, at that moment you enter the Jesus family, and in the Jesus family there is life eternal. This book is the book of the generations of Jesus, and it has interest. It had interest to those first readers. You see, Jesus was part of the Israel book. And he has a tie there. His tie is to David. You remember when Jesus was called the son of David? Remember the blind man called out, "Have mercy on me, son of David." Oh, that blind man knew a lot. Jesus is in the line of David. He is in the line of the great kings of Israel. You have to be born into a royal family. Jesus was born into the royal line of David. Jesus is the son of Abraham. Abraham is the father of a nation, but he is also the father of faith. We believe in Jesus, and that ties us to faith, that lifts us up and carries us through. And listen, not only will it take care of you in your death, but when you have a loved one that dies in Jesus, oh, listen, yeah, it hurts. It hurts. But you know, in Jesus, there's life on the other side to see them again. And there is blessing and there is comfort in that. And so what we have here is a record of families. It's a record of names. I'm not going to try to take you through all these people's names, and for that I'm sure you're thankful. Alex Haley wrote a book called Roots. And if you've been around a while, you may have seen the documentary on his story and the Roots movies that were out. And it told us of Alex Haley's family tree. This book tells us of Jesus' family tree, and it's important. There's a sadness in this name, in these names. The people we read about here, there were wealthy here. There were poor here, there were good here, there were bad here. Every person in this list except for Jesus is a sinner. And the reality is the wages of sin brings sorrow, because the wages of sin is death. And so at Christmas time, we see the effects of sin. We like to think of the babe in the manger. We like to think of giving gifts, and we like to think of family and friends. But in reality, all around us, there's sadness. There's the sorrow of broken families. There's the sorrow of drunkenness. There's the sorrow of drug addiction. There's the sorrow of crime. There's the sorrow of famine. There's the sorrow that sin has brought and continues to bring. But, you know, that's not the whole story. If all you want to do is maximize the downward slope, you're going to be a pitiful person. There's salvation in these names. Studying these names reveals sinners, yes, but it also reveals the grace of God. It also reveals God's salvation. You see, this is the Christmas story, Romans 5:20. Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Where sin may have brought sadness into your life and sin has brought destruction into your life, God's grace is greater than the sin, and it can abound beyond the sin, and it can fix what sin has messed up. There are women listed in this list. Now this was very unusual for a listing in the Jewish world. Women were generally left out. The Jewish male would get up every morning and they would pray a prayer. They would pray, God, I thank you that I was not born a Gentile. God, I thank you that I was not born a slave. And God, I thank you that I was not born a woman. That's what they prayed. Now, I'm distancing myself from them, but that's what they prayed. And so they didn't acknowledge women very much, but God did. So as you read through this list, you're going to see Tamar, Rahab, Ruth. You're going to see a reference to Bathsheba and Mary, all listed here in this very official document. Tamar, what a sad story. Tamar, Genesis 38. Tamar had a husband she loved. He was murdered. A single woman was not cared for in that day very well. And she was promised a husband, but she was jilted. She, warped by the thoughts and warped by her own sinfulness, disguised herself as a prostitute so that she could bear a child from her own father-in-law. What you see here is a woman affected by sin and sin pulling her down. The only thing that can get her into Jesus' family is that she's a sinner and she needs a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior. The Bible says Jesus came not to call the righteous but sinners to salvation. I'm so glad that's why Jesus came, for I'm a sinner and I know I need a Savior. There's Rahab. Rahab, you remember from Jericho, Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, that battle. There was Rahab. Rahab gave defense. Rahab hid the spies. Rahab cared for God's people. Rahab had been a woman of questionable moral character. Rahab was in a trade that was not a good trade. And Rahab so changed her life that when you read Hebrews 11 and you read the list of all these great people of faith, you read the name Rahab. What could have changed her so? Well, she heard what God did at the Red Sea. She heard how God spared all the children of Israel from the forces of Pharaoh. And she thought, if God could spare the children of Israel from such a massive army, certainly he could spare me. And so she responded to the gospel that God had a way for her, and her life was transformed into a champion of faith. There's Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. She was a foreigner. She was a cast out, a castaway. In fact, she was on the outside looking in. Nobody would do anything for her. Nobody would take care of her. And yet she found someone that would. There was a bachelor by the name of Boaz. You ever want to read a great romantic Christmas story? Read Ruth's story. Boaz rode through his fields one day and he saw Ruth. And, I don't know if he said whoa or wow first, but he saw Ruth. He was staggered by her. She said nothing. He began to load her down with all the groceries that she could possibly want to take care of her. He provided for her. She was amazed. She says this. She says, why have I found grace in your eyes? Well, duh, we know why she found grace in his eyes. She was beautiful. As a sinner, I don't understand why I found grace in God's eyes. Why would he find anything in me that he would want to save? But let me tell you what God does. God can look through you and he can see the beauty in you that you can't see. He can see the beauty of you with the sin removed. And he was willing to do what was necessary to redeem you. And Boaz did what was necessary to redeem Ruth. She was excluded by law, but included by grace. Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the other side of David's adultery. David committed adultery against one of his own soldiers, Bathsheba's husband. How would this woman, an outcast by that action, ever be mentioned in this particular chapter? Yes, there's sadness in these names, but there is redemption in these names. There's salvation in these names. God picked up Bathsheba and put her name in a place where it will be known for all time. When it says the wife of the one who had been the wife of Uriah, everybody knows who that was. These women tell of God's grace. And what I got news for you is at Christmas, God's got grace for whatever you need. God can take you through whatever you need. God can pick you up from wherever you are. God's grace is sufficient for you and for me. These names are a record of miracles. You see, God is in the changing business. He's going to bring about his will. He's going to accomplish his purpose. He's going to offer you his best. And we see it here because you read through this list and you may have skipped over this list, but there's a problem in this list. The problem is in verse 11. Josiah begat Jeconiah. Problem is found in Jeremiah 22:30. Jeconiah would never be an ancestor, would never have an ancestor sit on the throne of Israel. Well, the Messiah would have to sit on the throne of Israel. Yes, this list ties Jesus all the way back to King David, all the way back to Abraham. But Jeconiah would exclude him from sitting on the throne of Israel, and we all know the Messiah will sit on the throne of Israel. God fixes it. In verse 16, just look at that verse. It says, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Joseph begot Jesus. No, it doesn't say that. Now, it says, Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Joseph was the father of Jesus. No, it doesn't say that. If you look closely at that verse, it very pointedly says, Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. Now, if you were looking at a Greek New Testament today, you would see that word whom is not the masculine, it is the feminine. That word does not connect to Joseph at all. It connects to Mary. What God is doing in this register is letting us know that God sidestepped Joseph's line. Now, why is this line given? Well, as his adopted father, this would be Jesus' legal line of heredity, but not his actual one. God steps around the problem. He steps around the line of Joseph And he does not have Jesus born of Joseph. No, he has Jesus born of Mary, a virgin, as we are told in Isaiah, fulfilling prophecy. He could not be born with a human father, because if he was born with a human father, he would have a sin. He would have a sin pattern in his life. If he had a sin pattern that he was born to, he would sin. If Jesus ever sinned, he could not offer himself a pure sacrifice for you and for me. So while you may not have thought that the virgin birth is here in this long list of names, it in fact is very much here, because Jesus was not born of Joseph. He was born of Mary by a miracle birth. God stepped around the problem of verse 11. And by the way, if you want to know where is the bloodline of Mary to prove that Jesus indeed was in the bloodline of David, you go over to the first chapters of Luke and you find that record complete. And so God crossed all the T's. He dotted all the I's. He didn't leave he didn't leave an iota out. You know, he made sure that everything was in place. Jesus is the only person of human history who could justifiably lay claim on the role of the Messiah. Now, genealogies were very important to Israel, and they kept the record. When people first read this, they could not complain the fact that Jesus, yes, was in the official line, the legal line. He traces all the way back to King David, and certainly King David traces back to Abraham. And so nobody could dispute the fact of what this chapter says. Why? It was public record. You go down to the temple, you draw the record, you can read it right there. It's all there. It's all there. No one ever changed the public record, but the public record disappeared. In AD 70, the temple was burned, and when the Romans burned the temple, they burned all the official documents and all the records were gone. No one from that point would be able to trace their lineage back to prove that the Messiah had the right lineage, except for Jesus, because God kept the record. And God revealed the record. And God revealed that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Jesus has the bloodline that traces all the way back, just as he said it would, because God keeps the record. My friend, at Christmas time, I want you to know God's keeping a record on you. God knows where you are. God knows who you are. There is a record of your life. In your book of life, there is a record not only of your life, there is a record of your sin. The wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. All God has to do is read down that record and get to his sin, and the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. That is the truth of Adam's family. That's the truth where we are all headed, except God steps around your record. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God steps around your record, and he puts your name in another book called the Book of Life. And once your name is in the Book of Life, it will never be removed. Once your name is in the Book of Life, there's no need to step around anymore, because that means you're headed to glory. You're upward bound. There's something past death, and God's great Christmas blessings are yet to be held. It only gets better for the child of God. If you don't know Jesus, I beg you to come to know him. Oh, but if you know him, if you know him, you've messed up. Yes, I've messed up. We've all sinned. We are sinners. We are not better than anybody else. We are just sinners. But we are sinners saved by grace. And God has stepped around our record by the cross of Jesus Christ. for us to have eternal blessings in glory. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, I ask that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, certainly if anyone is here that doesn't know you, I pray that they would come to know you right now. But Father, I pray for believers. Father, in this world that is trying to pull us down and the negatives that are all around us, let us remember that we have a Savior who loved us enough to die for us. We have a God who loved us enough to provide a way to step around our record and give us eternal life. Let us share the good news of Christmas. And Father, give us the victory of this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we have found very recently, it's very important for you to take those cards, fill out those cards, and